Second by Mrs. Palumbis. Okay, any discussion? Anybody? Okay, we'll call a vote then. All in favor of approval?
Aye.
Opposed? Community input. Oh, first one. Attorney Don Yo.
Yeah.
Any questions?
We had our zoning board meeting last night, and there was an attorney here representing one of the applicants. And during the conversation, and we wound up tabling, it wasn't a big deal at all, but there was a kind of a throwaway comment about, are you guys qualified to be making this decision? And we just went through our training a week and a half ago, and over half the zoning board and half the planning board didn't go to the training that was provided by Clinton County. And I remember a couple of years back in Black Brook, I believe both the planning board and the zoning board were completely disqualified because they hadn't been sworn in. And if somebody was to come here with an application for either of those boards and had a problem with the decision on that application, and were looking for a technicality, disqualified members of the boards, they could possibly do it through lack of training. So I'm thinking the town board should be putting pressure on the zoning and planning board to make sure we get the training that we're required to have. That's my comment.
Is that the appeal board or is that the zoning board?
Zoning board of appeals, yeah, and the planning board.
You're talking about both?
Yeah, both, yeah. And Frank believes that too. He wants to put pressure on us, but I think if Frank had full backing of the town board and the individual members were approached to make sure they get training or 4 hours of.
Is the training something they can get online or?
I think there's a lot of ways they can be trained. You know, the easiest way, we just came and went, was the 4 hours of training actually formally provided down at the government center. A bunch of us went, but a bunch of us didn't go.
But they do it locally?
They do it locally, yeah.
I know how often they do it, huh?
I do that once a year, and it's already come and gone. However, it's not to say there couldn't be a little bit of training at each meeting.
Yeah.
It just has to qualify as training, so.
Is there any way that one of you could qualify to teach training?
I don't know. I don't know. A couple of years ago, Adele went over something that was qualified as training, and Paul Blaine went through twice, and he was a code enforcement officer. I had also done some training with us, but the last couple of years, it's been easiest just to go to the state thing.
Yeah, but I'm just for the convenience of the volunteers and, you know, that they're all.
I believe so. That's something an attorney would have to say what qualifies as training.
Do you get a certificate?
We don't, but I know when we do it through the county, there is something that comes back to the town saying that we did get the proper training, but it's only for those that attended that. I'm not sure beyond that.
Was Frank present?
Frank gets trained as a code enforcement officer. He's also required to have training, but his is on a different level.
Oh, was he present at the meeting?
Oh, he was present at our meeting, yes. Frank would probably know.
I don't have any thoughts. First time I've heard it. Did he come up by the planning board there?
He wasn't present last night. I would have.
I would be surprised if somebody could challenge something with the lack of training. What happened in Black Brook was something that's right in the statute. They have to take it out. On the other hand, I think it's a great idea for the planning board to just get training, and maybe there's a way for this board to support that, for this board to make that a requirement. If they can.
I think it's a state requirement that every zoning and planning board member gets 4 hours of annual training, yeah.
If you're right, you're right, and in which case you may be right about a subsequent challenge.
I see it as kind of a potential for a problem that someone really has a contention with either.
But whether it's required or not, it sounds like a very good idea.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, just so we know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So occasionally it happens.
I think it's a good question.
Oh, it's a good quote. Yeah. Right. Which occasion? But I just wanted to share.
Very good question, Mr. Tom.
Thank you.
Good issue. First one you had is the last day that you're going to.
Well, I know. I was behind my quota.
Is that it? Okay, next one is Don Porto.
Hi.
concerned is with the amount of crime we've been seeing in our neighborhoods lately, like discussing Mr. Douglas and Ms. McDowell earlier. We seem to have quite a rash of break-ins lately. And I was wondering if we could maybe get the council's backing on the neighborhood watch program for these tighter knit neighborhoods by the school. We had Joe at Stewart's have a net put in his back.
Yep.
Maybe we could talk to these guys, you know, the sheriff, and, you know, get an extra patrol car over here somewhere. I have yet to see a single state trooper or sheriff deputy cruise through any of our neighborhoods.
They're driving around in undercover vehicles right now because they're trying to get these guys that are doing the break-ins during the day late hours so that they're trying to catch them.
Okay. And even, well, this also can go hand in hand with something else I want to bring up too. A lot of times, you know, 10, 11 o'clock at night, you see teenagers out wandering the streets. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I know teenagers out after dark generally aren't up there to good. I know my stepsons aren't when they go outside. There's a big drug problem in our neighborhoods. I know a lot of kids are meeting over by the pavilion under the bridge and whatnot. I think you guys, how you feel about, you know, 2-3 people going out for a walk every night? Just so these kids know they can't be out doing this type of thing. It's not helping. It's not helping the community.
Where do you live?
I live over on Locust Drive.
We have a park enforcement at the Dick County desk. We have the police are also able to help us out with and enforce. We can't go out and be those kind of board members and throw people out of here, throw people out of there because we don't have the proper authority.
Oh yeah.
We do have in writing that they're allowed there, the police are allowed to take care of anything that's there after dark. They can throw them out, but they can arrest them or warn them or whatever they want to do.
Or if we do have a neighborhood watch, it's going
to
kind of...
As far as the neighborhood watch goes, it doesn't have to be backed by the board. We have a neighborhood watch over in Linwood, and we have the signs up, neighborhood watch signs. We've got a petition, went around ourselves, got enough people on it, run up the stairs, they put the sign up, we created our own neighborhood watch.
Okay.
So nothing has to be proposed by the board. You just have to go out and take your own initiative on it. We can help you with that, or...
Yeah, that's why I can't...
Yeah, we definitely can provide assistance, avoid contact with the sheriff's department, our state police.
Absolutely.
But we run it, but we've done it in the past.
I've looked into the neighborhood watch program, and there is the state police will completely set you up with everything you need.
Yeah.
I've suggested a couple times of hiring a part-time town constable that worked from dawn till dusk or dusk till dawn. I know if there are people that would be hired as a contract or as a town employee, I don't know how that would all work out. But someone just to kind of patrol the public common areas and town properties, you know.
That sounds like a good idea, and I don't want to, you know, be negative about this, but there's a lot involved with having a town constable, the training, the liability, the cost. There's more to it than just saying, here's a town constable, go ahead.
Right. Right. Are there private firms that would carry their own liability insurance? I'm not sure. I'm just
going to
throwing it against the wall.
Pale Rider.
We could hire Pale Rider.
I think we've got enough people now that have been, you know, become aware of this. And
yeah.
I know I have some people that like, will volunteer, and I know Tom did it for a while.
Yeah, so 8 years ago, when I was just before I was on the board, Ken John, he was on the board at the time, came and wanted to see if I would start up the internship. And the town actually sent me to Albany for neighborhood watch training. And I did set up a neighborhood watch training. We bought four, out of my pocket, bought four radios, and we did it. We had, if you all remember, we had up in the Winding Brook area, we had break-ins all over for a while. We caught them. You know, we all knew who they were to start with primarily, but, and it stopped. We had no problem, but as Pete was saying, you turn it over to constable issues, you turn it over to lockup facility, you turn it over to the church, you turn it over to the car, you turn it over to the hall. We did look into that way back in Ken John, and it is an astronomical amount of money now. The easiest way is, like Craig was saying, is you just set up yourself, and that's basically what we did. We found people that work shift work coming in late at nights, and all most of your COs, and you have them, ask them to, you know, do a drive-by in their neighborhood, and that's, it don't take much of an inconvenience for them, and you can make a present for you. Yeah, we actually had some law enforcement people come in, I can't remember whether they were Plattsburgh City Police.
Sheriff.
Sheriff came in and was willing to point us in the right direction, for the training, for what we needed, equipment and everything. And again, I could set up a presentation like that again, I'll call the sheriff's department, we'll get sometime early in January, and get something moving, but this stuff's gotta stop.
Well, Mike.
Or put out, you know, also put out some kind of flyer in the mailers, people's mailboxes, so everybody knows what's going on. I mean, it's very, very popular. Essentially, I've got people in my neighborhood right here in this room.
My fear is that some kid is gonna get shot.
What thing?
You know, because people are getting paranoid.
All the houses are all here.
You know, people are talking, you know, they break into my house, I'm afraid.
Kids are gonna be home, unfortunately, one day sick, or someone's gonna be home that didn't go to school one day or something, or someone's gonna be off that day.
A couple of troopers that I was talking about just that issue today.
It's unreal, I mean, they've never seen so many in such a rash, and it's tons of proof. I mean, I've been saying it for a month now, but every weekend it gets worse.
It does follow the economic hardships in the area, I mean, but you and I had discussed, I mean, we do have some drugs that live down in the neighborhood, but you know, don't need to be there, that, you know, could be causing some problems.
Refresh the sheriff and state police with the dawn to dusk law that we do have in the town, that's what we had to do 7-8 years back, and every 2 years, we actually handed Sean and all these state troopers a copy of it so they could carry it in their trooper cars. As I was talking with a couple of troopers today, everyone, I hate to say this, and we've got some 80-year-olds down here that are now packing pistols. Now that is not, and that is fact, people. That is not a good thing. You know, you're talking to 80-some-odd-year-old gentlemen carrying around pocket pistols. As Brandy says, somebody's going to get hurt. The state police were informed of that issue, and very honestly, we have armed people to the west of us now, or east of us, this town hall now, that are actually looking for these SOBs. And it isn't going to end good if they're caught. And I hate to say it, the state police said, hey, take care of the problem. It's going to happen if they get caught.
Well, I have multiple firearms in my home, too.
Oh, yeah?
You know, and
But now, it's a neighborhood one, if you can't carry them, you get yourself in a world of, okay. Just want to make sure I say that.
Sure, yeah, we're not going to crank up a...
Only you can carry by New York State, by my training, that was 7 years gone by, as a flashlight and a radio.
Yeah.
And they recommend never do it by yourself.
But anyway,
I just think awareness would be the big thing.
Like the BCI said today, anything that doesn't look right, they don't care if they get 1,000 calls a day, there's been so many houses in the world, I mean, you go on every street, and honestly, it's centered inside the town. I mean, you got the Echo Road, that was the only one that I know outside the town, and it's Connor's Road or Cockins Road. Cockins Road, today somebody told me I had a new one, but then you got the Echo Road, which is, you know, they took a gun from there and everything else.
We've had five within 200 yards of where we're sitting.
I know.
In the last 2 weeks. Now, this last one, they got good description of the vehicle, and they got footprints of the two individuals. They got good leads.
Somebody from inside the town. I mean, maybe it's not like the Toronto that, but it's somebody that's very familiar with this town. To me, it's somebody inside the town somewhere. You know? Because another town, someone from another town isn't going to come in someone's town and just break a house out of their house without knowing the routine of someone's house.
Thank you. Well, anyway, because of what happened today here, and if anybody doesn't know, our town hall was broken into, and Kathy's office and Judy's office, the doors were pry of Jimmy, pushed open, forced open, broken. Okay, and they did get away with a small amount of cash. They got away with some cash. They were looking for more. And thankfully, they didn't do it next month. Yeah, which is what we need to make sure we keep on doing.
Exactly where these are right there.
A little too late, but two cameras are installed on the back side of the properties.
And that's something we're going to talk about later on, too, as well as Mark Allen. touch. I've got your phone number and I've got your email. I'll be in touch with you and I'll let you know how things are going with this.
Again,
if you think I'm moving too slow, you can just give me a call.
I'll take the first step. I'll go talk to the sheriff or talk to one of the guys in Trooper Barracks.
Yeah, I'll give him a call tomorrow too and find out what we need to do to get somebody down here to talk.
Pete, suggestion, get a little associated towns, find out the do's and don'ts. Maybe that would be a good start place for educational purposes, Mark.
That'll be included in it.
Yeah, sure.
Now, I just want to know, you know, again, get this thing starting to roll, which was first being sheriff, I think. And we talked about with them, maybe in conjunction with them, also, or some of them, or they may even come with them. I'm sure the sheriff might be the resident expert on that matter. Okay. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate your interest and we will follow up on that for sure. Like I said, it's touched the person. It's not nice.
Yeah.
Okay, item six. Discussion and possibly a motion for town energy source.
There's still not sold on that. Get more information.
I did print this yesterday. George came in by marketing at Gantt. I don't know if you took Gantt. He came in. He also has the energy thing. I made it. I have my copy. I will make copies so that we can.
Of course, they're always hard.
What it is,
get them in the mail. You don't know what they're doing.
2 months and 1% after that. You can change anytime you want. You're not locked into any kind of guarantee anything. But I will have him make copies. That way, everyone has a better idea of what it is. And if you have any questions, you can also call this number. I didn't get a chance today because I was back and forth and stuff. But they will answer any questions too. So that way, it gives us a little bit more information about it.
Okay, let's read that for
anything. Make copies.
Just put
a George came up and worked and so he said, give me the information because obviously there's something on the radio.
We just said we don't want violence.
How does that work?
I know, we have to pick one of them sales reps or whatever they call themselves. They get credit for signing up, don't they?
Someone will get credit for the 10 meters, somebody will.
Right. So we have to pay someone.
I don't know how that works.
I don't think we pay that. I think that it starts from.
I don't know.
So there's a reference payment reference on there or something when you sign it up. If you call someone out here, just call in and they're going to ask you who the reference is.
That's why I got information today because I don't know anything about it.
George has a number, and on that number, when you go to the website, that puts it into their district.
No, I put it in for George. We use his number. Somebody get credit for 10 or 15.
Right. Yes.
I probably say what I probably shouldn't say, but I did ask George who was going to get the credit for it, and he said, like, everyone. That's what George said.
Who's Larry?
Larry Shannon.
Oh.
Larry wasn't the one that found the presentation.
Right.
That's what George told me about what I believe everything George says.
He's the guy that started this whole thing, I believe, isn't he? He's the one that started it, and then it's kind of like, the way I
think it's like somebody in the district, more or less, and I don't know, I think Larry might be in business with this other guy, he can't get anything. None of us can get anything off of that whatsoever. He can't even be a thought.
You?
No, I'm not a part of it. I get nice to the guy. That's why you're not part of it.
Okay, I'll read that paper.
I'll read it and see. I mean, the thing is that what I asked last month or a couple weeks ago, that answered what I asked. It says 7% in 2 months, 1% it's in writing. You can change any time. I called someone today, talked for 2 minutes, and then we got last year with the customers. So I think, read it and see what you think.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yep. Okay, so I'll make the motion that we table a motion to decide on the town energy source thing. Yeah, please, until next meeting, let's go.
Let's go to the first year. I mean,
and actually, you must.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I don't want to squeeze out in there, we're gonna, you know, help.
But, yeah, let's do a first regular meeting of the next year.
He's looking at me, I'll look at the end of your meeting, yeah, yeah, the 30th.
We'll do that tonight. Plus the organization.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it looks like. Okay, so I made the motion, I think this is second by Mr. Bruno, any discussion? Call a vote, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Item seven, discussion, non-coverable insurance request. I'll want a copy of the packet that Mr. Copeland dropped off at my office.
Thank you.
And. In going over the employee benefit handbook, what I did come up with was reading that part-time employees do not qualify for retirement for health insurance. It's in black and white there. No grandfather clause. Nothing like that, so. Anybody want to contribute to this discussion?
I just get a little confused where everything was added in there, but that's the same way I see it when I read the handbook, it's all part-time employees. And we never get it, so I can't see how we can start addressing that.
Yeah, that's the way it's written, and that's what you had, I didn't explain to us, I think we talked about it.
I didn't get the chance to look at it. How many years were you at council?
I took office January 1st, 1976. And I served, well, I took office 3 years before that, I was on the first zoning board.
So you started on town board?
But I started as elected official on January 1st, 1976. In 1990, we grandfathered the people that were pre-1990. Jane Brea was one of them. Most of them were all. Everybody was on that list, other than Greg, who was there before 1990, which, and all these people came way after I did. And some of my understanding is, your time is when you go in office in what is established, not a year before you get out. And I think that's where the injustice is.
But is it also, like you said, Jane Brea, that Jane was considered full-time, right?
Yes.
Did you look at the pre-1990 list of people that were grandfathered in the town?
I did, but I can't, you know, see it.
It's a single sheet. It was pulled from the benefit package a year before I retired by somebody. But up to that time, if you check with Kathy's records, you'll see it in everyone up to that time.
Another issue is retirement. Okay. Well, Mr. Copel did retire from the state. Okay. That does not mean that there's a retirement issue here. That's state retirement, town retirement, two different animals. They're not the same thing. They are not to be confused. What you were paying into as you were going along here as a councilman was a state retirement system. The health insurance is a town benefit. Two different things.
If you look at what we established in 1990, and I think I'm the only one in this room that held office at that time, but Mike Barton and I and a few others that were on the board at that time worked consecutively to protect the people that were previous to 1990. we established a precedent of two ways you became full-time. If you were part-time as a councilman or assessor or a judge or whatever, and you accumulated 10 years, that was a part-time thing, and you were grandfathered to get only your insurance in it. The second thing, if you read even what's on there today, if you're in the state retirement system and you met the minimum 10 years, which was changed just a year, a couple years, you know, a year before I got out, that I'm at 19, almost 20 years full-time service over that 33 and a half year period. So, you know, you got to look at both factors. There's two determinations in that benefit book. I don't know about you this year or how much you've changed again, but.
That was done through a motion and a resolution?
It was done in 97.
Yeah. In 2002, any councilman, supervisor?
2007.
Okay. Any councilman, supervisor, and there was two other positions. There was a sheet that I got from Kathy that showed those people could be full-time as long as they identified their time with the state. And I did that.
Any decision made by the board back in 92 or anything does not bind us to it. We came up with a different decision. There's different economic factors, there's different economic decisions to be made nowadays compared to back in 1992. We made a change in 2007 of that policy. We can no longer afford to supply 100% of retiree health insurance. That's number one. Number two, again, your position was never considered by the town for a town benefit to be full-time. It just wasn't.
This is why, this is one of the reasons I came over. Most people up there, I know, unless that employee's benefits packet has changed since I got out of office, this section was one of the things that I pushed for hard, and Donnie and I talked about it. Based on, I believe, Greg and some of the other guys got upset with the fact that I gave the prognosis, if we don't make some serious changes to the employees, we're not going to have health insurance. And I still believe that to this day. Now, has the employee benefits package changed since then? So it's the same way. And all five of us voted on that. That was a resolution. I remember writing the resolution up, and I remember going through the associated towns, and I don't remember if it was Mr. Biggs or Curtin at the time. I had to be right, Donnie? Don?
It was Don.
But I remember getting some clarification. I don't remember that, but I remember getting some clarification through a legal check section to ensure that you could change health care issues, I hate to say the word, arbitrarily with resolution issues, with legislative issues. And I can't remember if that came from the associated towns and it was checked on by Don or vice versa. I don't remember.
I recall when I first got in here, doing that issue. The exact resolution I don't remember, but I seem to remember there was some case law about whether or not the benefit vested if it was considered to be a contractual term of their employment. And that's a whole fact-finding issue. The other issue here that I think he tried to touch on, and this is important, is whether or not Mr. Cole retired from this town. He may still be qualified for state retirement, but as Pete said, that's a different issue than town benefits, and I think there's a real concern there is in my head about whether or not Mr. Cole retired or left office in some other fashion. Frankly, I think that may be the main issue.
I'm sorry?
It might be the main issue, but it's also these other issues are important too. A part-time position, I'm not sure. And then you get into whether it does, it's the best of
so, I mean, part-time issues now at the county legislative issues, and I'm working with two of the legislators now on that issue up right now. You know, the part-time elected officials should not be getting out there at the town that's cost too much money.
What's the issue?
Yes. I have a question that's bugging me, but I don't want to say that one.
You mean pointing to your specific?
Yes.
Motion by Mr. McDonald, during the executive session, we're discussing terminus to an individual.
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Budon. Any discussion? Call the vote, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye, opposed? Okay.
Do not eat the candy.
Mr. Budon.